Good morning and welcome to another edition of Pandora's Box here on KSJD, the zine. This is the other side of health, the story on health and the environment. And good morning, Dr. Stephanie Seneff. We have with us this morning Dr. Stephanie Seneff, a senior research scientist from MIT in Boston, Massachusetts. Dr. Seneff, you've recently published a paper on the GMO herbicide glyphosate and its effect on the human digestive system. It's caused quite a stir in the scientific community and in the medical community. First, I just want to ask, why did you feel compelled to publish a paper on this subject?
That's a great question, and I have to go back a bit and say that my interest has been in autism. I've really become concerned about the autism epidemic, which, as you know, has grown enormously over the last 5-10 years. We're facing a real crisis now, with 1 in 50 being diagnosed in the latest March 2013 phone surveys. I think this is really scary. So I've been systematically going through all the toxins I can find in the environment to see which one or which combination might be causing autism. And it took me a long time to get to glyphosate, quite frankly, because Monsanto has claimed that it's perfectly safe, almost like aspirin, and no one's worrying about it. So I was fortunate to be able to hear a talk by a professor from Purdue, Don Huber, he's a retired professor, and he's been arguing tirelessly that glyphosate is a very toxic chemical. And I heard his talk, and I already knew that autism is characterized by a dysfunction of the gut. I mean, a major problem with the gut is associated with autism, with pathogens overgrowing and benign bacteria dying out, and you get inflammatory gut, and you get leaky gut, and you get all kinds of problems that can lead to, in fact, brain disorders as a consequence of toxins that are getting to the brain through this gut barrier problem. And the other problem I've noticed with autism is sulfur, severe disrupted sulfur metabolism. And sulfur is extremely important in the body for metabolism. And so when your sulfur system is not working properly, all kinds of things go wrong. This talk that I heard from Don Huber showed me exactly how glyphosate would be exactly perfect to explain both of these pathologies associated with autism. And luckily, I hooked up with Anthony Samsel, who had been aware of the problems with glyphosate for at least 3 years. He'd been researching glyphosate intensely, and he basically filled me with a huge number of papers that I started ferociously reading when I got back from the talk from Don Huber. And it became very clear to me that glyphosate was the key reason for the autism epidemic. I feel quite certain that this is the case at this point. Mm-hmm. I've gotten further evidence from, of course, I've gotten all kinds of email and phone calls from people in response to the paper, which just further convinces me that we're right.
Well, let's take a step back. You know, glyphosate is the ingredient in Roundup, which is used on Roundup Ready, GMO soy, and lots of other crops. But I thought, and I think that many people believe, that Roundup does not accumulate in the soil and that it actually biodegrades, and that it's not really found on our food. It's just used on the herbs, you know, it's an herbicide, so it's used to kill the weeds that the crops grow around. And that, is that not the case? Is that not true?
That's definitely not the case, and particularly with the development of the GMO crops, which is what happened over the last 10 years. We're seeing an enormous introduction, steady increase in GMO corn, GMO soy, canola, and cotton. All of these are going into the base of the processed food chain. And these are crops that are engineered to be glyphosate resistant. 90% of the GMOs involve resistance. This is called Roundup Ready. You've probably heard that term. You can spray the Roundup on the crop and it won't die. And this is really scary. And we've shown from papers that we found, these crops soak up the Roundup. Because they don't die, they're going to soak it up and it's going to get into the food chain. And we're not even measuring to see how much is there. So we can't say for certain that this is happening, but the alignment with autism is absolutely remarkable. And if you look at the amount of glyphosate that was put on GMO corn and soy over time, over the last 20 years, and you line that up with the autism epidemic, it's practically coincidental, the two curves. It's unbelievable.
Well, it seems like, I read your paper, great paper, and it seems like it's not just kids with autism spectrum disorder that might be affected by eating foods that contain glyphosate, that the human digestive tract, no matter what who you are and how old you are, would be affected. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. I mean, I have been studying, in addition to autism, the sort of the whole general problem in American society with obesity, metabolic syndrome, increased rates of Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is actually going up significantly also in the last 10 years, and that's really scary because you're going to have disabled children and disabled elderly people that are going to burden down the society to the point where we won't be able to do anything else except take care of these people. It seems to me this is what we're headed towards if we don't make corrective action. And autism is really the tip of the iceberg because you can connect easily glyphosate to obesity. And when you look back as I've done, I mean, I found a paper that showed 1975, there's a sharp increase there's a corner in the curve on obesity, and it starts skyrocketing right after 1975. That's exactly when we first introduced glyphosate into the market, into the food chain. And it has continued to rise in step with our increased use of glyphosate. As an herbicide, we have continued to increase its usage, and then the obesity epidemic has continued to get worse. And we can see from the biology itself why this would be, very directly, because glyphosate disrupts the bacteria's ability to produce a substance which is a precursor to serotonin. And it's the only precursor to serotonin. And we depend on our gut bacteria to make this for us because we don't have the enzyme pathway that produces this. It's an essential amino acid called tryptophan. So the gut bacteria are supposed to make this for us, but they can't because of the glyphosate. Therefore, it's deficient. Therefore, we get serotonin deficiency. Serotonin deficiency is associated with Alzheimer's, autism, obesity, depression, suicide, and homicide, all of which are going up in our society.
Absolutely. For those of you just listening in, this is Pandora's Box. I'm Lynn Patrick, and I'm interviewing MIT senior research scientist Dr. Stephanie Seneff, who is talking with us about the increased use of glyphosate in GMO crops and its relationship to chronic human disease. You also mentioned, Dr. Seneff, in your paper about actual gut diseases or digestive
yes.
diseases. Can you talk a little bit about that, how glyphosate may be linked to gut problems, gut diseases?
Absolutely the case. And in fact, it's very clear. In fact, studies have been done on both cows and chickens, both of which get a lot of glyphosate in their food. We have much higher limits for the tolerance of glyphosate in the food for them than we do for us. And they've shown, these studies have shown that glyphosate disrupts their gut bacteria in exactly the same way as what we're seeing in humans, which is that the pathogens overgrow, the pathogenic species. You've heard of Clostridium difficile C. diff, which is all over the hospitals. And Pseudomonas, and Salmonella, all of these nasty bacteria are overgrowing in the gut while the good bacteria are falling apart because they're getting preferentially killed by the glyphosate. And so you get into inflammatory responses because the body has to launch an immune attack against these bacteria, which is going to then disrupt the gut lining, open up leaks, and then allows all these nasty things to get into the bloodstream and into the brain, of course, which disrupts the brain's processing. And it's a terrible cascade. You have colitis, Crohn's disease. You have all these problems we've been having with allergies to wheat, the gluten intolerance and the milk allergies, the casein intolerance, and irritable bowel disease, acid reflux syndrome. All of these, gut problems that people have been having, I think, can directly be traced to glyphosate.
So, Dr. Seneff, for many of us in the healthcare field who are trying to address the potential health concerns with GMO foods, what would you tell us and what would you tell the general public in terms of trying to avoid glyphosate because it's in our food supply, correct?
And yeah, absolutely. It's extremely hard to avoid. We don't even know how much is there because there's very little testing. I should say that Anthony and I found a 295-page document from 2011 put out by the Department of Agriculture, and there was one line in that entire, it was on weed killers. And so glyphosate is the number one weed killer being used in the country. There was one line in this document out of 295 pages on glyphosate. That line was very important because it was looking at soy and they had done 300 samples of soy, and they had shown that over 90% of them tested positive for glyphosate. Over 95% tested positive for AMPA, which is a derivative of glyphosate breakdown. So essentially, it's all over our soil, our soy. Soy is at the base of our processed food chain. Soy protein, soy milk, soy oil, you know, soybean oil, all of this goes into the processed food chain.
Right.
And corn, of course, is the other. Soy and corn, and then canola oil and cottonseed oil. These are all really important components of processed foods, all of which are GMO engineered to be Roundup ready. So I would say the first thing to do is to avoid all processed foods. That will be the very best thing you can do.
So for those of you
to help you avoid glyphosate.
Excuse me, for those of you just listening in, this is Pandora's Box. I'm Lynn Patrick interviewing Dr. Stephanie Seneff. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back with more of Pandora's Box. This is Pandora's Box here on the KSJD Zine. I'm Lynn Patrick, and here with us today is Dr. Stephanie Seneff from MIT. She's a senior researcher at MIT. She is talking with us today about glyphosate and some of the health concerns surrounding GMO foods and glyphosate. So, Dr. Seneff, you mentioned before during this interview that you had received a lot of feedback about your article. I'm wondering what the mix was between positive and negative feedback, and how you feel as a scientist taking a stand against GMO foods, what your experience has been. You work at a prestigious institution. You're a senior research scientist at MIT. I would hope that you're being listened to. Can you comment on that?
Yes. I mean, the feedback has been overwhelming. I've almost been able to do nothing else but answer emails and phone calls. It's been all positive, 100% positive. So many people have come out of the woodwork and said, you know, even stories, their own personal stories about how they went organic and they got well. And this has really caused me to believe that we're right even more than I did going into the paper. I mean, I've only gotten reinforcement. Farmers have called me and have talked about their pigs being sick because of glyphosate, and it's just amazing to me. I think that this story has to break. It's very clear to me that there is something awful going on in our society and that glyphosate is the root cause. You know, it just has to be fixed. And it's following up with opportunities to continue research, and Anthony and I are really trying to start a program where we're actually going to look into situation surrounding people who are sick. We've found communities where there's a lot of illness and they're surrounded by fields of crops being grown with glyphosate. So we suspect we're going to be able to crack this wide open.
So it sounds like what's coming out of this study is that there actually not only is the public being informed, but the public is taking action, that people are actually choosing to, as best they can, eliminate glyphosate from their diets.
Finding a huge difference in their health as a consequence.
So it sounds like you'll be involved in further studies looking at this. It sounds like
it looks as if this is going to define the rest of my life, I think.
And that would be a good thing.
It would be. It has to be done.
So,
I mean, I feel very certain.
I'm also curious about, you know, you're a scientist. You're very much involved in this. You're passionate about it. What do you see happening on federal levels with GMO regulation?
That's a good question. I think the states are going to be the answer, and I'm working hard in Massachusetts. Anthony and I are both appearing in front of hearings in the local New England states, and we're hoping that one of the New England states will be the first to pass an anti-GMO bill. I also have a residence in Hawaii, and we've been in contact with people there. I'm planning to give presentations to get it going in Hawaii as well. I think Hawaii has a very strong anti-GMO movement on top of a very strong GMO presence. That's going to be a very kind of the center of the storm, I think. So I'm working politically in both Massachusetts and Hawaii. I think if states can start to pass at least GMO labeling laws, that's a beginning. And once GMOs are labeled, we can start to actually look to see if people are choosing GMO versus non-GMO. Are they getting sick? I think we can't even really measure effects as long as we're not labeling. And I think that's an obvious first step. And I hope that then once the states start labeling, eventually the federal government will be pressured into changing, because the government is so in bed with Monsanto, I think it's rather hopeless to try to change things at the federal level at this point.
Well, if you're just listening in, this is Pandora's Box. I'm Lynn Patrick. I am talking with MIT Senior Research Scientist Dr. Stephanie Seneff about glyphosate, the health effects of Roundup Ready crops. So, Dr. Seneff, we do grow Roundup Ready crops here in southwestern Colorado, particularly alfalfa. Not many people know that there is a Roundup Ready alfalfa. It sounds like you've interviewed communities where just living in the area where glyphosate is used is a health concern. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right, and I suspect it's in the water.
So that would be probably for consumer groups who are interested in looking at exposures. That would be the place to look, is in the water, correct?
That's right. And you can measure it in the water. So we're looking in to try to, you know, set up a procedure where we can get the water measured from these areas where people are sick. So I'm hoping we will get another paper out that will be actually have some. Because the paper we wrote was completely a review paper. We didn't do any extra research of our own other than to synthesize the story, which was very important.
Absolutely. We have to start somewhere, and it sounds like what you're doing is revealing information that has been hidden, so to speak, from the public. Is there any other avenue that you think consumers and citizens should take in terms of moving forward to potentially protect all of us from the what appears to be an obvious concern about exposure to glyphosate that may affect all of the systems in the body, not just the gut, but certainly the nervous system and the immune system as well?
Yes, and I should mention other foods besides the GMO crops, because wheat and barley and potatoes are all typically are often burned down with glyphosate just shortly before the harvest. And so you're going to get glyphosate in those foods as well. So those are other foods to avoid. So you pretty much have to go towards what I would call maybe a Paleolithic diet. I mean, eat meat, eat seafood, and eat green vegetables, and avoid all of these sort of core crops that are really showing up in the processed food. So the big step is avoid processed foods. Then also to eat probiotics initially to try to heal your gut. Because if you've got gut problems, you've got a dysbiosis in the gut, and you need to nourish your gut with the seed, the good bacteria, to allow them to grow and then get rid of the toxin. And your gut should improve, and once your gut improves, everything else will improve as well. So that's important.
Well, Dr. Seneff, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. This is a topical issue for us here in Colorado, as well as a local issue for us here in Southwest Colorado. I appreciate your work in this area, and I wish you the best of luck. So this is Pandora's Box. We are signing off for today. We will be back in 2 weeks.